Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hello, this is Stephen O'Doherty. When it comes to measuring and reporting on student outcomes from schooling, what are the outcomes that we want as parents and as citizens? It's certainly more than numeracy and literacy results, although, of course, they're important. It's more than even job readiness, although that's important as well. The Australian Government's own statement about the outcomes of schooling talks about spiritual formation and community building and contributing to social cohesion. But can they be measured? And can we resolve the perennial debate about whether faith-based schooling contributes to social cohesion or creates social division? Those very questions have been researched now for several years by CARDIS. It's a North American-based think tank. The director of the CARDIS Education Study is Dr. Beth Green, and I caught up with her at a Christian schools conference recently in Canberra.
I actually do think we need information in the public domain about how students are growing and developing in their schools. I think the problem with systems like NAPLAN or the league tables that we have in the United Kingdom is that, first of all, they're the only source that we value, the only source of information we value. And I think we need a broader range of measures to talk well about how schools are preparing young people for life as adults and to live and work with one another. But also, often the information's really decontextualized. We pretend that it doesn't have a story. We need to know an awful lot more about the relationship between the socioeconomic context students are in and their learning, the relationship between school and home and family, be able to measure appropriately the complexity of the classroom, which standardized assessment measures don't do. And we need to think a lot more about somebody's progress rather than the final outcome, because if you just focus on getting everybody to a baseline floor target, sometimes you're missing the potential they have actually to achieve more greatly than that.
What other measurements do we have that could tell us about the culture within a school and this other aspect, particularly for Christian schools, of how well they're doing in the formation of a child?
So two answers to that. Teachers themselves. I think one of the things we've got to encourage and bring back into the conversation about education is teachers should see as part of their professional identity that they are a research tool, that they're able to make wise judgments about the learning of their students, and they know about the families and the homes that they're in and they're coming from, and the way those interactions shape education in the space of a school. But there is a tool if you're interested in measuring broader outcomes than just academic outcomes, and that's the CARDIS Education Survey, which is something that I've been involved with for a number of years now, where we do actually take nationally representative samples from our graduates and look at how, if you went to a public school or if you went to an independent Catholic school or if you went to a Protestant Christian school, what kind of effect that has on a broader range of outcomes, your civic engagement, for example, the way that you engage with the political sphere, the choices you make as a family to practice your religion. So there are ways to use big data to inform those conversations in a helpful way.
What's the CARDIS survey telling us at the moment?
So lots of different things, and I'm going to try and just give you a few of the highlights. I think one of the things that excites me is that Christian school graduates do have a distinctive profile in terms of their character formation, their civic engagement, and the way that they practice their faith. That means that Christian schools are, in my view, a site of real potential for this broader formation that we've been talking about and that we're saying is important in terms of preparing the next generation in North America and in Australia to live flourishing lives and to live well together. I think the other thing that's really important is that we're four reports out now, two in the US, two in Canada. All of those reports refute the very persistent stereotypes around Christian schooling, which is that if you go to a Christian school, you'll be socially isolated, religiously and politically extremist. And our reports tell absolutely the opposite picture. And I would just love for that news to kind of get out more than it does.
It's been used, of course, politically, and it's been used in this country, especially in the context of debates around funding in education. Let's just dwell for a moment on what you said. If the critics of Christian schooling, often driven on a funding model basis, say that Christian schools tend to, they used to use the word, balkanize the community, drive us into smaller and smaller enclaves of like-thinking people, your study has proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's not true.
That's true. And more than that, it's saying that some of our models of doing publicly funded secular education are perhaps more likely to sequester students in homogenous communities than attending a Christian school, because one of the things that's not happening, or that isn't the main story in the secular publicly funded schools, is this inquiry into worldview formation. Somebody whose religious beliefs and views and traditions are different from mine, if that conversation isn't happening, if there's a silence around that, that actually means that people are less well equipped to interact and know how to talk well in the public space. It's the Christian schools that are taking that conversation on.
Well, those who take a contrary view would say the way to do that is to have a general teaching about religions and have kids learning. The phrase that's often used is kids learn side by side. But are you saying that that's not showing up in your research?
So I think I would want to say that learning about religion isn't the same as meeting somebody who practices that within a community of faith. And one of the things that our research is beginning to open up, I still think we would like to do more case study work around this to drill down into the actual teaching and learning practices that make this happen. But what our research is showing is that students who attend Christian schools are just as likely to say as a graduate from a public school that tolerance of other religions is important, but they're also working that out. So when you look at who their friends are, when you look at their social networks, they're living that out in the practice of their adult lives.
We've got several generations now that have of graduates that have come through, if I could put it in these terms, modern Christian schooling, a movement that started in this country in the 1970s and has grown rapidly in that time. Schools that are committed to the idea that Christian schooling is not just about having chapel and then all the other subjects and everything else is the same, but schools that are serious about the integration of faith, learning about life through the lens of faith, I suppose, or through the lens of the Bible, integrating that into every subject and every classroom. So, what do you expect we ought to be seeing after a few generations of these young people have started entering the workforce?
So I would love to see that, first of all, they understand that full-time Christian ministry is about being a Christian in any walk of life. It's not just about giving everything up and going and being a pastor. It's about being, you know, an accountant or a lobbyist or an artist or a stay-at-home mum. But that they actually have a theological framework for critiquing how to do that well, how to live that well, and for thinking about who they are and who other people are in the light of the kingdom of God.
What does that framework look like? Do you think there's an emerging renewal of a sort of God at work in the world theology?
Yeah, and I think one of the exciting things is the re-emergence of this kingdom of God language, because we need to encourage people to remember that the kingdom of God is here now, it's in imminent frame, and that gives us so much more confidence to see where God is already at work and join him in that work, and that it is important for, to quote Kuyper, every square inch, it all belongs to God, and that you are free to live out the Christian story in that space.
Just for someone who might not have thought about this before, how do you achieve that type of learning or development of a child when you're teaching, say, history, for instance?
So I think it's about recognizing, history is a lovely example, but that history has is God's story. It's telling that in relation to the world that we live in, but being realistic too about the ways in which we fall short of God's vision for flourishing, and being able to explore how some of the decisions and even things that the Christian church has stood on in the past might need redeeming. I mean, that's a reformational principle, to go back to the scriptures, to open that up for the culture and the time in which you are living and say, well, what does this mean for the way that we think about the present, and what can we learn from the past?
Do you think our theological colleges and our churches have yet fully grasped the revolution that's occurring in Christian development through our Christian schools?
I think they've got to catch up. I think this is one of my kind of personal soapboxes, that theologians haven't thought enough about how people learn, and actually educators haven't always thought enough about theology, and those two things need to be brought together. That's something I'm very passionate about, my work, and it's why I kind of come to the Southern Hemisphere and put all the miles in, just to be an advocate for that.
Well, just finally, as we wrap up, how are we placed in the Southern Hemisphere?
So when we look at Australia from the North American perspective, we are so jealous, not that we should cover, but so jealous of the strength of your funding position. That's such a treasure and such a resource. And I think we think that you must therefore have all these questions about theology and pedagogy worked out. And I suspect that probably we've all got learning to do in that space. So I think you're strong in your K-12 presence in Christian education. I think that could be strengthened in the post-secondary space. I think some of what you're talking about in terms of how we bring educators and theologians together, there's a ripe opportunity in the higher education space here in Australia to address that. And that seems to me like an obvious next step.